League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags!
Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast. Let's do this thing. The UFC is back, and so is the best in the business. The original MMA odds maker, the one and only Joey Odessa, as we've got our third card in the span of a week. Joey Odessa steps up and in from Florida, not Jacksonville, but Florida. Nevertheless, Joey, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening today, Jay?
We're doing all right, Joey. So the UFC's closing up a shop in Jacksonville, but it's been a nice run in Jacksonville, Florida. Great cards. And something that's caught my eye, Joey, with the two cards so far that's come back. The main event, the underdog, has won both fights. Glover Teixeira cashes, and pretty much in the same price range, too. You know, and the public steamed up last week. The public steamed up Tony Ferguson, and the public also steamed up Anthony Smith, and the underdogs cashed with Justin Gaethje, and Glover Teixeira cashes as an underdog. In fact, four dogs cashed on Wednesday.
Yeah, these guys, you know, I hear a lot of people talking now. They're liking Overeem in this fight. I don't know if it's because of a trend or maybe because Harris had some time off, but it's going to be a good main event.
You know, that's the thing. People buy in, you know, into, you know, everything is contagious. And I buy into that as well. But you can't bet a fight just simply because, the underdogs won the last two main events. This is a heavyweight tilt. You know, anything can happen, obviously. But with that being stated, and, you know, we set the table earlier in the week, Walt Harris, of course, his daughter, his stepdaughter was like kidnapped and murdered. And this is his first fight since then, obviously going to be fighting with a heavy heart. Yet he seems to be in a pretty good place right now. In fact, I saw him say that he feels like he's 24 years old right now. And it was good to get in the gym and hit people to take his mind off of everything. He's 36, but I think he's still I think he's a fresher fighter than Alistair Overeem. And I never forget what you said years ago. Alistair Overeem is 185 pound chin on a 250-pound body.
Yeah, a 250-pound body that weighed in with his shirt on today. I found that kind of odd.
What do you make of that?
I don't know. I mean, in the face-offs and everything, he had his shirt on. I just a little odd. I just found out, odd. And he does. I mean, look at Overeem. I mean, he's 45-18. He's probably got 100 fights in his career, if you add in the K-1. I don't know what the stats are over there, but, I mean, he's definitely got some miles on him. Harris only got 20 pro bouts altogether, 13-7, 13 KOs, which seems to be, Alistair's kryptonite. I mean, he's been knocked out 14 times out of his 18 losses.
You know, and Overeem can show flashes, though, right? And we've seen him show flashes, in which he's a smarter fighter now than he used to be. He used to just sort of be reckless and he'd cost himself. But at the same point in time, to me, if you're a little chinny, it seems to me that, Walt Harris is the last freaking dude you want to be fighting if you're a little chinny, Joey. I just figure if they both start throwing, I simplified it earlier in the week. I figured if they both start throwing, And they both connect. Who's going down first? I think it's Overeem before Harris.
Yeah, you would think so. You know, Southpaw Harris, I think that it's going to be a little awkward for Overeem. You know, I don't know. I mean, they're heavyweights. Anything can happen, but I think that Harris probably gets the best of them. A lot of people, again, like I said, a lot of people are on Overeem. They seem to think that he's going to, you know, he's going to fight smart and score points. And, you know, there's no crowd there to boo if he doesn't get too busy. And he's just going to pile up rounds. But I think at some point, Harris is going to catch him on the chin and, you know, that'll probably stop it.
Yeah, you know, I almost want to pick on these guys, actually, Joe. It's a good. That's almost the theme. I look forward to your opinion on this. That's almost like the theme to me here. Of guys that have been around, but they're not as good as they used to be. And, you know, I sort of buy in, yeah, but look at the level of competition and look who they lost to and all that type of stuff. But, no, I just think, you know, they're sort of aging. You look at Michael Johnson. Look at Michael Johnson the other night, man. The dude looked good in the first round, and he, boom, just like that. Guy taps right away. Thing that pissed me off about Michael Johnson, he never seems all that pissed off when he loses. You know, he just sort of shrugs his shoulder after, and it's like, all right. But, dude, you're like, you lose all the time now. And, like, it doesn't seem to bother him. It's frustrating. So there's a couple of fighters like this that I'm weary of coming in. And Overeem sort of falls into that category for me here, Joey. It's like, yeah, he could fight smart, and he might do this, but you're kind of hoping for a lot. I think Overeem fights for the money at this point in time. And it's, you know, it's minus 158, so it's come down a little bit. I'm going to be on Walt Harris here. I'm going to roll the dice, like you said. All heavyweight fights are a gamble, but I'm going to roll the dice on Walt Harris here.
Well, you know, show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser. I feel the same way. I don't like guys that are just kind of, you know, kind of happy to be there, or, you know, that are humble and happy in defeat. I mean, kind of like that Dominic Cruz was pissed, you know? It makes me want to bet him next time, but at the same time, you know, I'm not for excuse makers either. Like, you know, Rampage always making excuses after the fact. But, I, you know, I like a guy to be a little salty when he gets beat.
Or Deontay Wilder. My outfit wore me down.
Yeah, there's a different kind of, you know, there's different kinds of excuses. There's different, you know, I don't know. I mean, Cruz.
The Cruz saying that the ref was drunk was a little out there, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was a, you know, the stoppage was, you know, it was right at the end of the round. And, you know, Cruz was in the fight. I don't think, again, I don't think he would have won another round. I hate to look back on it so far back. I'm not a rearview mirror guy. But anyways, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I like guys being a little mad when they get beat.
So, you know, I brought it up, four underdogs. There was 11 fights. There was 11, you know, there's been a scratch on both cards. One due to the virus and one just due to weight issues with Roberson not making weight against Vittori. But in the first card last week, it was 9-2. The favorites were 9-2. The only guys that lost as favorites was the main event and Tony Ferguson and Fabricio Werdum, who got worked in the first round but came on after, but it wasn't enough after he got beat up as much as he did in the first round. On Wednesday night, though, out of the 11 fights, let's call two of them sort of pick-ems. The Michael Johnson fight was kind of a pick-em, and the Drew Dober and Hernandez fight closed in, you know, around that same nothing distinctive mode. But, you know, the other nine had lines, and four of the underdogs won. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see. We had a favorite card, and now we've had an underdog card out of the two of them, which leads me into the next fight here. And I would ask you about the total, but I know you're smart enough, Joey. It's sort of like with me with football totals. You know, I'm not smart enough to stay away from them, man. You're smart enough to stay away. You don't really bet on the main totals very often, do you?
Nah, you know, I just, you don't get down a lot on them. And, you know, they move quite a bit. A lot of times, you know, like these women's fights, they pound these overs. And people are saying, oh, bet over in these women's fights. You'll make money every week. Well, it's not true. You know, I mean, you need, you know, when you're laying 4 and 5 to 1 on the total, you need to win, you know, you need to win 4 fights just to get even on a loss.
Yeah, you know what? I'm guilty of it. I don't lay the big juice. I parlay them. I don't overthink it. Like, you know, like the other night, Ray Borg, 9 straight fights, we've gone the distance, make it 10 straight. You know, I was minus 240, so I put it in parlays. I've been playing quite a few 2-team bangers, actually, in the first 2 UFC cards. And I've been hitting some plus money parlays. It's the main events and just sort of the favorites that have been getting me. I've had some nice underdog picks with the totals. I do like totals, but, you know, they're dangerous. I'll tell you, though, Over Eam and Walt Harris. I just want to throw it out there because a lot of people do like to bet them. Over Eam and Walt Harris. The over-under is 1.5. Minus 148 to the over. That surprised me a little bit. And I overthought it with Ngannou. Ooh, roll the dice. And sometimes when there's heavyweights, it takes a while to get going and all that type of stuff. But I don't see how this goes 7.5 minutes. You know, and I guess, you know, if you want to get into the correlation type of stuff about method of victory, Walt Harris via KO is minus 115. But I would rather just, instead of worrying about Walt Harris winning at minus 115 via KO, over under 1.5, plus 122. I think somebody gets stretched in the first 7.5 minutes of this fight. But what about Claudia Gadala and Angela Hill? I really want to take the underdog here with Hill. She's up to plus 186 now, too.
Yeah, I mean, Hill's been stepping in on, you know, taking these fights and racking up some money and racking up some wins. Tough fight. I have to think that Gadella wins that fight. You know, going back to that total, you can go under 2.5 in that Overeem fight, probably at about $1.75, $1.80 under 2.5 rounds. So almost looks like a trap.
Joey's warning us. Joey's warning us right now. Will fight go the distance? Yes, plus 330. No, minus 490 for that main event. So Angela Hill and Gadala, here's a fight that a lot of people will definitely be betting on the over. Listen, Gadala, as you say, Gadala probably wins. Angela Hill, Claudia Gadala's a really good fighter. Angela Hill seems to be finding her step right now in her prime in mixed martial arts. At least she's a veteran kickboxer as well. So, you know, she's not, you know, at least you got an experienced fighter. This fight to me goes the distance. And this is a classic case of what we were talking about with a woman's fight going the distance and, you know, being parlay material. Yet, how about this number, Joey? Over under 2.5 rounds, minus 370 for Angela Hill and Gadella.
You go broke betting those, laying those big numbers like that. You know, it just, and especially if you catch a couple bad beats in the process. I mean, it'll just wipe your bankroll right out. I stay away from those totals. I mean, I'm not looking for to go bet value on under either. I just think that these numbers are right with some of these totals. And that's why I don't bet a lot of them.
Listen, Joe, I do bet them, and I'm an idiot. I'm just a degenerate that can't help myself. I was sitting on, I stay away, and then I end up pulling the trigger again. Unless I have fun with it. But the thing is, it's hard enough to pick like a total in an NBA game, right? It's freaking tough, bro. Like, and or an NFL game, you know, and I know you fall for it. Some, you know what I mean? Oh, we'll play the teaser and the side and the total. And you know what I mean? You know, the parlay and et cetera. But when you're talking about a fight, Joey, it's so effing random, bro. You know what I mean? Like you're counting, you never know. Like these guys, and it's not just the heavyweights that can mess each other up. As we saw the other night with the trendy pick of the night. What's the guy's name? Azure. The Azure dude, man. I think that guy closed it like minus 220 or something, Joey. Got knocked the F out.
Yeah, he did. He looked good in the first round, though. But you don't win fights in the first round.
That should be a prop fight. That should just be a prop fight. Who won the first round? We don't know we don't know the full score. All right, so you're kind of cold on the first two fights here, Odessa. Let's see.
Say about this Angela Hill fight. I mean, if you look at Angela Hill's record, she's 12-7. You know, but what is it? That's 19 fights. 7 of those fights that she fought ended inside the distance. So you're talking like 36% of her fights end inside the distance. So you're laying what? 64%, you know, minus
370.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I mean, but at 64%, you're laying like minus 180. You're going to lose money on that. You're going to lose money betting over in those, you know, betting distance in her fights.
And this is a woman's fight, too. This is a fight that could be a stoppage. Gadella, you know what I mean? Like something could happen in this fight where it doesn't end up going 15 minutes. But this next fight, this is what I wanted to ask you about, sort of these older dudes. You know, so we've got the Hawaiian against Edson Barbosa, IG in this fight. What do you make of this? I think he's a live dog, but it's plus 114. Right now, we're talking about a guy that's won 5 fights in a row.
Yeah, there's some money on that kid right now. I think I like Barbosa here down at featherweight. I think he looked pretty good today on the scales. Not that I put a lot of weight into that. He's used to fighting much bigger guys. You know, I think Barbosa might chop him down with leg kicks. I kind of like Barbosa here.
Joey, all right, you're like in Barbosa. You know, speaking of the weight stuff, we talked about it. Man, OSP did not look good. Like, man, he looked slow. There was no speed. You know, well, he showed speed when he was running half the time in that fight against Ben Rothwell. It'll be interesting to see. You know, I don't love betting on these guys in the first fight after they change weight classes. It'll be interesting to see. We got a guy that's going down right now. How grueling was the weight cut for Barbosa is the question. But you like Barbosa here, huh? I wish I was getting more with the Hawaii. Yeah, it's plus 114. I'd like to get a little bit more, but like you said, the guys won five fights in a row.
Yeah, I think it's going to keep dropping. I think you might be able to, you know, if you're going to bet the dog there, you probably bet it now because I think, you know, this fight might be closer to pick 'em by fight time. I'm thinking maybe minus 120 on Barbosa. I mean, I'm waiting if I bet it.
You know what the problem is? You know, this is becoming the trendy one, isn't it? There's always a few. What do you notice? Is this like the one that's becoming the trendy pick? The people are taking the underdog and they're betting against Barbosa. It seems like it is, isn't it?
This one and Darren Elkins, EJ and Elkins are the two flavors of choice right now. I think Elkins is probably the right side. You know, it's the favorite crossed over, but, you know, and they're still piling on him. That happened last week. I mean, I knew when that Azzurro, when they just kept piling on, you know, when they laid minus 205, 210, you could just smell the dead money coming in and the bad beat. I mean, I know that that's just talk and superstition, but I mean, it just looked,
Did you feel the same way before the Anthony Smith fight? I knew it before. I was like, oh, yeah, this is setting up, like, totally for failure here. Like,
the Ferguson fight? I mean, look at the Ferguson fight. They came in, they piled on him and piled some more. And, you know, that money usually gets beat.
Yeah, you know what? And it seems like a lot of the steam plays have been beaten. A lot of the steam plays have been beaten. So this next fight is a fight that Eric Anders against Jotko. I like Jotko. What do you make of this one here?
You know, I really don't have an opinion on that fight, but I know there's some really sharp money on Jotko. You know, it came early in the week.
Yeah, me.
Kidding. Oh, yeah. Contributed to it, yeah.
No, but you know what? This is one of the fights that caught my eye here, in which, you know, quite frankly, these football players just aren't very good at transitioning to fighting.
No argument there.
Yeah, we've seen it. You know what I mean? Like, what football player has really exploded and been like, man, this guy's like, you know, really, really, really good. They're tough. You know what I mean? Like, they're good. They're good athletes. They get it. They all can take a shot. They usually all have good chins. You know, like, Hardy kind of sucks. You know what I mean? He's just a big dude. Hardy sucks. OSP sucks. Brendan Schaub, eh. You know what I mean? As far as, was he ever really great?
Yeah, they're football players. I mean, they're just not.
Matt Mitrione was a football player. You know what I mean? Like, there's never really been that really good football player that's transitioned to MMA. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree there. It's, you know, they're football players. Like I said, they're just, you know, they're out there, you know, blocking and running up and down the field. I mean, he's, you know, you know, the strength and the condition, you know, their conditioning, maybe not even their conditioning. And most of them are big heavyweights, you know.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're all in good shape. It's just they're not natural fighters, as you stated. You know what I mean? They've been tackling people. They've been sacking quarterbacks. They've been running, right? Well, they're great, great athletes, but they don't have quick hands. Like, Hardy doesn't have quick hands. OSP doesn't have quick hands. Anders is pretty agile. Like, he was a linebacker. He's a good athlete. He bounces around, but I just like, you know, I like Jocko's experience here against him. All right. Hold that thought, Joey. We'll take a quick break. Renzi Unfiltered. The podcast, the UFC, the trifecta goes down Saturday. Bring it.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get on the grid, sports grid, Marenzi, I'm hooked to the podcast. Continues. We're taking it with Joey Odessa. We were just talking about football players in the transition into mixed martial arts. And, you know, hey, it's not easy. And these guys are great freaking athletes and they're studs. I respect them for doing it, but they're just sort of blocky in a way. You know, they're big, they're not fluid. Anders is kind of fluid. But sorry, Joe, I cut you off as we were going into the break there. What you got for us?
They're big and strong. And you know what? It's always, I mean, big guys, a lot of big guys aren't in a lot of fights over their lives. I mean, they're so big and they look so big.
Yeah. No one wants to fight them.
Nobody wants to fight them. Yet some of these little guys, I mean, Jesus, look at a guy like Frankie Edgar. Give me Frankie Edgar against a whole bunch of linebackers. You know what I mean? It's just, going back to the college days, you always see those big monsters, you know, standing around the keg at the keg party talking about how tough they are and how nobody messed with them. And on the other side, there's like 20 wrestlers that, you know, we're under 170 pounds, and it'll work the shit out of them, you know?
That's the, the football players, you're right, are always the guys to drop. You know, it's funny, actually. It's exactly that. I know a dude, his name's it's Hal Johnson. He's a big dude in Canada. He's a really nice guy. He does like exercise videos for kids on TV. Like, hey kids, you know, make sure you get in shape. And everyone thinks like, you know, oh, he's kind of soft or whatever. Nice guy. In real life though, he's kind of a meaner dude and he's really, really strong and stuff. And he was telling me about how he got into a brawl once with like an NHL team and a football team in a bar. It was like all of them were throwing and he was the one that was left standing, Joe. You know what I mean? And same thing, he said, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Yeah,
he was just dropping these big fat linemen and stuff left and right. But I do like Jocko in this fight. And so you say there's some sharp money that came in on Jocko already this week. He's minus 160 right now.
Yeah, there's some sharp money on Jocko. He opened around Pick'em. It went up a bit. I mean, a little buyback might come in, but it looks like the sharper money's on Jocko.
All right, so speaking of money coming in right now and hipsters and trendy fighters, the Kung Fu Monkey here, Song Yadong, pretty trendy fighter, the 22-year-old, although some people are questioning if he's really 22. Doesn't really matter, though. There's no age. He's not, you know, it doesn't really matter. But 22 years old, the Chinese fighter fighting with Team Alpha Male, minus 194 against Marlon Vera. Is Vera good enough to beat him? Because I'm tempted. I really want to pull the trigger here with Vera.
Well, this fight might not happen. Song has got some visa issues, and he hasn't been cleared as of the weigh-in. Uriah Faber weighed in for him. Uriah Faber weighed in as an alternate. Crazy times, right? But, yeah, they're both from my Team Alpha Male, and Faber weighed in.
I was going to say, I didn't know you could have a substitute weigh-in, Joey.
Yeah, and I don't know where the fight, you know, I don't know whether the fight's going to take place or not, but there's a good chance that Faber will be fighting if they don't get it fixed before tomorrow. And today's Friday. Nothing gets done on Friday, so I imagine they might have a problem there.
That's some crazy stuff, so I don't understand. Like, I thought he was already here, though.
Yeah, but you know what? They have weird regulations. I don't know whether
like it's a work visa type of thing,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Might be allowed to be here, but not allowed to work. I don't know. I just heard there's a visa issue or something.
Well, it's time for Dana to call his buddy. You know, Don, 45. Say, come on, yo, Don. It's not like Trump wants to help out Chinese China right now very much.
No, I was going to say, he's looking for a favor to bring it'll be all over CNN. Trump blocks all the other Chinese people, and he lets one fighter in for his friend. He'll scream bloody murder.
Oh, yeah, I know, but whatever he does, he's going to scream bloody murder.
He can't win, you know. Yeah. If he lets them in, it does him a favor, he'll catch hell, and if he doesn't, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, either way, like, if he doesn't let him in, he's racist. And if he does, then it's like, oh, yeah, of course, because he's buddies with Dana White, right? Of course he did that. there's always little issues, man. So as Joey mentioned, Uriah Faber steps in. Now, I didn't really think it was going to come to this, that basically Faber would really fight. Faber would just step in just like this.
Apparently, yeah.
It's not really cool for Marlon Vera, is it?
No, I mean, you know, these guys want to get paid. Imagine Vera wants to get paid.
All right.
Better fight for Vera. More of a winnable fight for Vera, I would say.
That's a good point. I know. It's just taking a fight notice on, like, 8 hours notice. Or, like, when are they going to tell him? You know what I mean? And look, so people could be listening to this after the fact, but we don't know. We don't know what the end result is going to end up being. With this, like, put it this way, the sports books still have Vera up right now. It doesn't say Uriah Faber.
Yeah, I mean, they might have got it worked out already. I'm just going on what I heard.
No, I know. No, listen, Uriah Faber, I mean, not heard. It's a fact. Uriah Faber stepped on the scale. Yeah, it's just bizarre. That's just bizarre world. All right, so let's get into the rest of this card. What catches your eye here, Joey? Unless you talked about Elkins. Here, Elkins is -128. I know a lot of people are picking Elkins.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, he opened up the dog, and, you know, the fight's crossover. I think Elkins wins this fight. The other kid's tough. Fortin M won. The kid got beat in his last fight, but I think he's tough. He's a tough kid. The fight that I'm looking at, this is going to be one of those cards where I kick myself in the ass because, man, I'm looking at Matt Brown. And I'm thinking, Jesus, Baeza, he gets hit. This kid's 8-0, but he gets hit a lot. And I'm thinking that Matt Brown just, you know, but then I look at Brown losing that first round to Saunders. But he comes back. I just think that, you know, if Brown lands something big, he's going to make it count. If the favorite there can deal with his pressure, I think he'll be all right. But I don't know. I kind of like Matt Brown.
You know, Matt Brown hasn't fought in, what, about 2 years? Well, no, he beat. So when was Ben Saunders? So December 14, 2019. It's not that long. You know, actually, it's not that. I thought it was a little bit longer. Before that, it was you had the Diego Sanchez fight in 2017. He was on quite a losing streak before, but he was fighting. You know, he lost to Robbie Lawler, Johnny Hendricks, Damian Maya, Jake Ellenberger, Cowboy Cerrone. This is a winnable fight, but most of these old guys seem, you know. That's what I wanted to ask you. Like, Glover, I thought Glover Teixeira looked pretty damn good the other night, didn't he? Or is it just that Anthony Smith is that average? What is Matt Brown going to have? And Matt Brown has been vulnerable to those body shots, Joey. Right? I mean, he has been vulnerable. He has been stopped. What are you hearing about Matt Brown right now?
I think it's a winnable fight for him. I just more so because I think this kid gets hit too much. I think Brown will capitalize on that. I think Brown's going to land something, you know, but, you know, this card, the last card was a card full of guys that I found, it was tough because there was a lot of guys on the last card that I find myself betting against in the past, except they were all fighting each other on that card. So it was a little, you know, it complicated things here. You know, I have faded Matt Brown a good bit in the past, you know, not against Sanchez, but against Cerrone, Ellenberger, he made money betting against Matt Brown. And you made money betting against Ben Saunders, you know, who Brown just beat. But, you know, this is more of a play based on this. I don't think that the kid's a Florida kid, this Baeza kid. I just don't think he's that good.
You know, how about the other night, Andrei Arlovsky winning?
I mean, you know, it's what is
that Lynn's guy sucks. That Lynn's guy's terrible.
It's a millionaire too. I mean, imagine Orlovsky could have hit pay dirt over in the PFL.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It's a good point. I knew. You know, there was one fight the other night too, Joey. It was the first fight of the night. I was like, dear God, I should have hammered this. It's not like, you know, you go in any card thinking that, I'm going to put everything I have on Chase Sherman in the middle of a pandemic, right? But I got to tell you, the Vanilla Gorilla the other night, his opponent, man, was just like a punching bag. You know, like literally, like, you know, the guy making his UFC debut from Houston there. And
he was an 85 pounder, wasn't he? Yeah, he went up in weight a couple of weeks.
And he was just over freaking well, bro. Overwhelmed by Sherman, and Sherman was only -150, Joey. After that happened, I was really upset. That was the one I was like, man, we just left money on the table with that fight. I didn't know how bad the guy was going to be, you know, and how, you know.
You would have figured he would have had some decent movement, you know what I mean, a lighter weight guy in there with a heavyweight, but they stunk it up. I tell you, the opening bout on this card, Dontel Mays against this Brazilian, this Nascimento kid. You know, I got to bet the Brazilian here. I haven't seen much of him, but Jesus, if he can just mount any kind of an offense to get to a takedown, he should finish this guy.
So these guys are on the Dana White Contender Series, which I got to admit, Joey, there's a whole new wave of these fighters, and especially now with, you know, there's so much UFC. I've got some catching up to do. This is the wave of guys that I've missed out on. I haven't watched the Contender Series show that much.
You know, it's a 52-week season now. Every week, I mean, you know, Saturday, Wednesday. It's tough because, you know, you come up those long overnight Saturday cards and, you know, right back at you. These guys are weighing in on Tuesday for the Contenders, so.
It is relentless. So you're going to go with the Nascimento here, Rodrigo, against Dontel Mays.
Yeah, I think he'll care. I think if all he's got to do is score a takedown. Now, whether, you know, he might get worked on the feet, but, you know, I just and I don't think much of him, you know, but I also don't think too much of Mays. So I think at even money or -$1.05, I like the Brazilian.
Any opinion on a Courtney Casey fight -156 against Barella? Romero Barella?
I thought the Casey looked pretty confident at the weigh-ins. I mean, not that that amounts to anything. You know, sometimes you look at these fighters and they just, you know, they just got it going on. Casey looked to be in that form to me. So if I had the better, I'd probably bet Casey. But Barella, you know, Barella's American Top Team. She's, I think she's a blue belt in jiu-jitsu, but she's got a black belt in judo and karate, apparently. Casey's, what, a brown belt or something? Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt. I don't know. I think Casey wins this fight. You know, here's again, you know, probably a decision or something, but I think that, you know, Gamblu might have a good opinion on that. I think Casey fights out of the lab out in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. And he's honest, too. He doesn't just pick, like, every time. He doesn't just pick them to win all the time. One thing with Casey is, so it's another weight class move here. So she goes up to flyweight, which should be interesting because she's actually a pretty big chip for that. She was big for her weight class before. So now she doesn't have to make weight. It could be, could be an advantage for her. She could feel a little fresher going into the cage. Maybe that's why she felt so confident.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not sure. Didn't Cormier say something about Barella is an American Top Team fighter. So is that Brazilian in the opening bout. I'm not sure how these ATT guys are doing. I'm not a stack guy, but they don't have too far to travel to get up to Jacksonville. It might not be that big of a change and, you know, might not have that big of an effect to travel.
Is it Michael Johnson there? Couldn't help him.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. You know?
It didn't help him. You're right. You know what I mean? Like, it is contagious, that stuff. You know, that's you know, and Lou actually made a great point as far as Dolber was concerned going into that fight about Dolber training with Gaethje. You know what I mean? You go through a grueling camp like that, high level sparring like that, and then Gaethje looks as good as he does. You're going to ride that momentum, and he did after. That was a fun fight, actually. You know what was amazing about that fight? Dover, like, was stalking the kid, yet it was amazing. Hernandez was tagging him, bro, like, going backwards. I'd never really seen that before. Like, Hernandez seemed a little intimidated, right? Like, this Dover, this Midwest, you know, farm guy's just coming at you, like, constantly stalking him. But it was amazing. Like, when you looked at the stat count and stuff, it was like, damn, Hernandez is actually hitting him, but he's losing the – it doesn't look good when the other guy's walking you down, even if you're connecting. That was the thing with OSP the other night against Rothwell. Like, he started actually landing some pretty good shots in the last round, Yeah, right at the end of the freaking round, the second round. But I'm saying he started to get into a groove. And stuff, but he was backpedaling too much. I mean, Octagon, you know it, Joe. Octagon control counts, right?
This is what I'm looking for in Matt Brown. I'm looking for him to be able to get some momentum and just get on him, you know, get Baeza backing up.
Yeah, well, he's going to. He's going to come. He's just going to ambush him, right? Just
pressure, pressure, pressure. You know, I think it works. I mean, you've seen it.
Joey Odessa with us. So another thing, Joey, that I've noticed that I wanted to ask you about this is the, and you know, you've been an odds maker for so long. So I've noticed it's amazing. Like the, so we talked about it. Who was the Keller guy, kid from New York that knocked out the trendy pick, Azor, the other night. Dude, Azor was like minus 550, bro, after the first round. He had a great first round. Yeah. Whatever, he wasn't around 10-9, fine. But he was minus 550 after. Boom, gets knocked the F out after. And you and I were talking during that fight, and the Keller kid was swinging for the fences, Joey, with those spinning back fists and stuff. And he even told me, he was like, man, he might get caught soon here. And he did, finally, right? And so, you know, props to him, but big underdog. Same thing with the Lins and Arlovsky fight. Arlovsky was like, bro, he was like plus 280, plus 290 or something after the first round, plus 300. It's amazing the swings, Joey, of the live in-game odds. And I talk about it every damn card and on these Saturday night cards. I'm having a couple of drinks and I'm like, man, if we just took the big underdog after a round all the time, you know, we'd be hitting pretty nicely, actually. Like, because, you know, the odds makers seem to go by what Joe Rogan is saying or by what Cormier is saying. And I always talk about this to people. And I say, you know, when it's a football in-game bet or a basketball, you're betting against the computer and algorithm. But when it's a fight, it's not a computer and an algorithm. They actually have to have a trader there. They have to have somebody there monitoring this. So we'll take a rapid-fire break. And I want Joey's take on the process of live in-fighting odds. And whether you can crush it or not, get on the grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
This is something that's fascinated me, actually, and I've noticed specifically over at Bet365 and FanDuel,
And you know this, man. A lot of these sports books just sort of copy and paste each other's or other lines. So they're all pretty much the same. But, man, there's just some really extreme swings after a round, Joey, in MMA live betting.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, your MMA live, it's only as good as the guy, you know, the guy that's trading it, that's putting a number up. He's got to score rounds, too. And if he's not good at scoring rounds, you know, again, I don't want to let cats out of the bag, but I mean, I know the judges going into these fights. You know, I mean, I'm always getting the judging assignments before these fights take place, because some judges fight, you know, score fights different. I mean, if you look at the last card, you had D'Amato and Torelli, you know, they're scoring opposite each other all the time. You know, if you look back in their history, you know, split. In fact, they were responsible for the two split decisions last week in Rothwell, St. Preux. D'Amato had the fight for St. Preux. You know, and then with Simon and Borg, Torelli scored the fight for Borg. So, I mean, you get, you know, the guy putting up the numbers only as good as, you know, as good as the scoring of the rounds. It's quite a task. I mean, I have a computer program here that does it, but it's not, I mean, whatever. I mean, the math of it, anybody can really do the math of it, you know, if they know what a round, you know, how much a round is worth and things like that. But then again, no two fights are the same. I mean, you get a guy like, let's, you know, to go way back, but it's a good example. Look at Lesnar and Carwin. You know, after that first round, Carwin only had one round of gas. We knew that. You know, if he didn't get it done in the first round, it was over, you know, and you could find yourself, you know, these guys, they find themselves in trouble.
But it was sheer domination of Carwin in the first round. He dominated Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, but some guys start slow. I mean, that was real slow. Brock was getting crushed, but you'll see that. I mean, it can happen. A guy gets, you know, how about a guy goes out, gets dropped in the first round, down 10-8. You know, now he's got to win the next two rounds just for a draw. But if it's, you know, if it was a fluke and the guy, you know, the guy's the favorite spent, you know, now you got a good opportunity. I mean, again, no two fights are the same, but I think there's a lot of flaws in the in progress.
All right. So, no, there really is. There really is. So, you know, before we wrap up this card, any loose ends on this card we didn't get to? You talked about Mays and you like the Brazilian Rodrigo Nascimento here, plus 102 he is right now. Elkins. So, yeah, we didn't really get into the Elkins fight too much, but what do you make of this one? Elkins minus 128, because it seems like I can't go online without seeing somebody saying they bet on Elkins, yet the number's not moving, and if anything, it moved down. It was actually like minus 130 before.
Well, Elkins opened as a dog real early. Elkins opened as a dog. And I worry in this fight because, it, you know, again, the public, it looks like the flavor of choice. Darren Elkins is definitely the flavor of choice on this card. I'm going up. Darren Elkins is Elkins and Ige are probably the two bet sides here so far.
Elkins' fight has go the distance written all over it. It's minus 188 over 2.5 rounds.
You know, if it looks too easy, it probably is.
Yeah, you want to send a limo for me?
But it's true. I mean, if it really does, I mean, you see it happen all the time. I you know there's traps everywhere. Again, I don't have an opinion on that total. I worry about Elkins. So I like Elkins, but, boy, it's tough to be on the side that everybody's on. I mean, I saw some early percentages. I saw like 88% of the money on Elkins.
All right, so if you were betting on, let's say, one fight, two fights, what are you pulling the trigger on here? We both like Walt Harris, but it's a heavyweight fight. Main event's always, you know, it's a roll of the dice, obviously, and especially a heavyweight fight. And listen, man, every damn Overeem fight's always. Every Overeem fight, something weird happens. So, but I do like Walt Harris. I like Jocko. My money will be on Harris, Jocko. I want to take Angela Hill, but I can see her fighting a good fight and just sort of losing. The IG though, Iggy here, getting Iggy with it. I'm tempted here. You know what I mean? The price is climbing too. I'm going to walk right into the trap, but the plus 168 is calling my name there. I like Jocko too. I think Jocko is going to beat Anders.
Yeah, I'm more undercard. Maybe Kevin Holland, again, Matt Brown. I'm coming out the gate with the Brazilian Nascimento, which has got me. You know, I'm gonna look real smart and real dumb after that fight because, you know, if he takes him down, he subs him. But if he doesn't, you know, he might just get worked on his feet, you know, worked bad. I think Mays is just a monster, you know, not a monster on the feet, but compared to what I saw of the Brazilian on his feet, I think Mays has the advantage there. And then Elkins, I mean, I want to like Elkins. I'm thinking that the opener there was wrong. You know, he opened at dogs. He's up to, what, minus 125, minus 130. And I probably would have opened Elkins a short favorite.
So you mentioned Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland against Anthony Hernandez in this fight. You're like, this one's basically a pick'em.
Yeah, I think Holland's better. I would have made Holland a favorite. They bet him down a little bit. They bet Hernandez, but I think Holland is the better fighter of the two.
Holland comes in off the loss against Brendan Allen. Before that, he was on a three-fight win streak.
Pretty good, though. And I think Holland won the first round there, if I'm not mistaken.
Hernandez comes in a 7-1 fighter. Not the same experience, though. I agree with you as far as Holland is concerned. We're going to go through the Holland tunnel in this fight. It's funny, I was talking about discipline, but I end up betting on all the fights, Joe. I'm just so happy to have sports back and the fights back, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, again, you know, I'm looking to make three or four plays on the card. I think Barbosa gets there again, but he's against Ige. It's more of a, you know, he's down in weight. I think he matches up all right with him.
So before we get you out of here, Mike Tyson posted a video of him working out, and he looked damn good. And then he followed that up with a post saying, I'm back. 53-year-old Mike Tyson right now. And they set some odds for it, actually, in Vegas, a potential fight between Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. And it's funny because people were like, oh, Mike Tyson, you know, he can, you know, could he take Tyson Fury now? I'm like, guys, he's 53 years old. And he's half Tyson Fury's size. He's not fighting Tyson Fury. Like, you know,
Tyson Fury, kill him.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Tyson Fury, kill him.
Like, he's coming back for an exhibition. And he actually dropped this before, that he wanted to come back for an exhibition. Like, so he's not coming back to try to become champion. He's coming back, you know, he just wants to get in the ring again. And, listen, there was talk about him potentially fighting, Fury in an exhibition, not like just an exhibition match, but the Evander Holyfield thing seems to be coming up more. So they don't set odds over at the Westgate for nothing. You know, I mean, this isn't just like some offshore trying to get attention. So for the record, they set Tyson at minus 350 against Holyfield. And it wouldn't shock me if they fought, actually. They have a relationship. You know what I mean? It's the trilogy and stuff. They're buddies now after the whole ear thing. And quite frankly, Evander Holyfield probably needs the money.
Well, yeah. I mean, Holyfield doesn't mean he's got like 20 kids or something. I don't
exactly
know. Exactly. But as far as Tyson, I mean, Holyfield's getting a pretty medicated Tyson. I mean, I've seen Tyson sometimes have you ever watched Tyson's videos? He has these sit-down
talks. He's getting pretty medicated. You're right. It's just because Tyson hits a bag. Anyone's going to look impressive in a video that they put out themselves. You're right. Like, people are going to buy into it. Holyfield might come in here. I like what you said, a medicated Tyson.
Yeah, I mean, it's Tyson. I mean, it's an exhibition. I mean, if Tyson goes out there and just, you know, it's kind of like when you're in a gym and a guy, you know, it's happened with me, like, years ago, a guy, Vincent Boulware, real good fighter. He was a cruiserweight champ. And I would spar with him and I'd get in the ring and they'd tell Vincent, they'd be like, look, just don't bust him up. Just work with him unless he gets cute. I mean, he gets cute, like start winging big hooks at him or something. He's going to put some on me. And, you know, maybe that might be the same thing. I mean, Tyson's going out there for an exhibition. I don't think he's going to go out there swinging for the fences. And if he just boxes, and especially a medicated Tyson kind of boxing, Holyfield just might pepper him up. But as far as these guys putting up numbers, I've seen this a lot. Like the Las Vegas guys, now that the post-caps are, you know, now that all these other states are opening up, they are putting some stuff up there to get attention and to get press.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I see it, you know, years ago, like now everybody wants, you know, all these guys want to be celebrities because there's so much content out there and everything. So they are putting them out there. I see some guys give interviews that, or just, you know, again, because
exactly.
They're laughable.
Called it too, that also they get pressure from their bosses, right? Hey, you put the odds out, you'll get interviewed on ESPN about it. Stuff like that, right? Again, it's free publicity. It's free publicity for the sports books.
I saw some guys last week out there that were touting Anthony Smith by submission. and Anthony Smith inside the distance. Now, how did that work out for them? Not funny. I mean, I just.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Hey, listen, I took Anthony Smith to win the fight, so I'm not going to take pot shots at him. But, like, as freaking if, like, Glover Teixeira is getting submitted by a kid from Nebraska.
Gosh, did they ever watch the Anthony Smith fight? I mean, he kind of just stepped into notoriety when he beat, he came back. He was getting beat against Lombard. He came back, showed his heart, won that.
He made a rep for himself by going a distance with Jones, but let's be real. Everybody's doing that now, Joey, right? Everybody's doing that now.
Yeah, I mean, again, once they step into the spotlight like that, then they have like this forever glimmer as being a championship contender. And, and he's not. I mean, he's not that good. He never was that good. I don't want to, tear him apart, but he just was never that good. And some guys are just like that.
Now, the kid's got a ton of heart. The lion heart, will give him that. But, and I'm not making fun of him. I'm not trying to be a dickhead. But, man, like, how much more warning did we need? That when he even said that I kicked the home invader in the face, I choked him, I elbowed him, and he kept coming at me.
132-pounder. The kid wrestled 132 in high school. The kid was tough. The kid was a decent high school wrestler, but he was no blue chip, and he wrestled 132.
The kid was a 132-pound wrestler.
Right, so what did he weigh when he tried breaking into
150, probably 155 type thing.
Maybe lighter, all cracked out, but needless to say, yeah. I mean, it's 132-pounder. Well, how much do you put on? Maybe, 175, 180 at the most. And again, here we go. We'll catch criticism the way Jones made fun of it. He said something about him. He's like, this is the guy that's supposed to beat me.
No, I'm not making fun of it, like, at all. But the thing is, Jones should shut the hell up. Because, bro, Glover Teixeira is 40 years old and just killed this kid. What did you do to him? You got your hands full. I don't know. Like, Jones shouldn't be talking smack. But I'm not making fun of it. It was a dangerous situation. Yeah, it's
Jones
true.
Wins like fights, you... though. Jones wins fights, though. I mean, he does what he's got. He does enough to win. Let's give him that. I mean, Jones, I saw you talking about arguably the greatest of all time. Jones is up there. I mean, he has what, Matt Hamill? Come on, he beat DC. Beat DC twice, and DC's great.
Yeah, you could almost argue DC would be right up there for the best ever, too, right? Not for John Jones.
Yeah, he lost to Jones. I mean, he can't, you can't put him up there. I mean,
I'm just talking about the consistency, though. You know what I mean? Like, he is the greatest ever, John Jones. He's never lost. Like you said, that Matt Hamill's not a loss, and he's never lost. He is, but there's been a lot of off time. There's always garbage with them, you got to hold it against them. The suspensions, the PED stuff. I used to have Anderson as the best ever. I don't really look at Anderson like a cheater. Yeah, he took HGH or whatever. The guy was old. You know what I mean? He was injured.
They were
like
all taking something back there. They were all taking something back then.
Exactly. So I got Anderson right up there. You got to consider George St. Pierre in that mix too, though, right?
No, for sure, George St. Pierre is up there. Again, when we talk about John Jones and Cormier, it kind of reminds me of, like, Roy Jones and Tony. Like, I put Roy Jones Jr. up there as one of the greatest boxers of all time in his prime, and he beat Tony. Tony beat none and beat some good guys, but Tony can't be elevated to that level. I'm looking at Daniel Cormier kind of as, like, the James Tony of boxing. You know what I mean? Good enough to be a champ, real tough and everything, but he lost to Roy Jones, who is John Jones. Same name. Look at that. Maybe that's why I drew the parallel.
What do you make of this John Jones versus Nagano stuff?
Well, I see a number out there. They put up Nagano minus 165. I'm gonna hold my thoughts on that because I got to go to the bank.
Again, Jones, I don't know, man. Will Jones actually do it? He threw it out there. He's like, you guys want to see me do this? I'll beat him. And people hate Jones so much. I like Jones actually said I could use the big payday right now. So Nagano would do it. Nagano's going to do it. Like, Nagano's always looking for one of these super fights. I don't think he cares about belts and stuff. He's looking for big money.
A picture of Nagano. Nagano posted a picture of him like barefoot in some hut in Africa. And he's come a long way.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to fight this guy right now. He's got, he learned his lesson. He learned his lesson that first time around. I'm not saying that he would beat Stipe again, or not again, but I mean he would beat him this time if they fought again. But he's much more dangerous. He's much more dangerous now than he was a couple of years ago, Joey.
Yeah, I mean, a big guy like that coming at you so aggressive. He wings his punches, though. Throws wide punches. You know, that's a concern.
It was crazy against Jairzinho, exactly. Only one of the punches connected, actually.
Kind of looked like, looked like one of those keg party fights where two guys were just going at it, and one guy just swarmed him and, you know, clobbered him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I saw, like you said, like, McGannell, he missed once, he missed twice. He sort of just clipped, missed his chin a bit, and then boom, he caught him with the left, and that's all it takes. And again, it hits you, it's just one shot, right? So, bam. You know, he caught him with the left, Jairzinho went down, and then boom, he hit him in the side of the head once again. So the guy only got hit twice, and he was nearly dead after. I thought he was dead, Joey.
Well, so they pumped that Jairzinho up pretty good. I mean, he'd been knocked out in Super Combat K1 kickboxing competition, you know. And then, you know, over him won four rounds in 4 minutes and 50 seconds against him. And then you know, well, big bust clip, but.
We got to get out of here, but you did a great ending to that about, and over him got all that he could handle from Jairzinho and then lost. Give me Walt Harris. give me Walt Harris. Joey, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for your time. It's great talking to you. It's old school stuff.
Have a good one. Yeah, old school. Way back. Way back.
Good stuff, Joey. Thanks for the time.
Have a good one.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.